This is the first time we're talking since the election.
Mm-hmm.
What's your reaction?
Well, it's very exciting. You know, the league is nonpartisan, so I don't want to say that we're excited that now it's Democratic controlled. And there's definitely, you know, there's some downfalls to having a totally party controlled where every single house and the executive is a Democrat. There is a little bit of a lack of checks and balances there. But on the other hand, a lot of our reforms used to get stuck in the Senate and not pass. And we're a lot more hopeful now that those reforms will pass this year.
So what is the makeup of the Senate now? Where do we stand?
Yeah, so there's a huge majority of Democrats. 39 of the 63 senators are Democrat.
So what does this portend? What do you expect the legislature to take up in the first, say, you know, 2 months of the session?
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that the session is really funky in that it kind of runs in like three stages. The first is sort of the first month of session, everybody just kind of settling in. I think some things will pass that are kind of maybe easy wins. Like, I think the Reproductive Health Act, the Contraceptive Coverage Act, I think those things are going to pass right away. But
it's crazy to think of the Reproductive Health Act
to pass
as an easy win.
Yeah, but I mean, with a huge majority, 39 members, I mean, it's impossible. And the Assembly has already said this is their top priority issue.
What would the Reproductive Health Act do? Just a very quick recap.
It just basically would codify Roe v. Wade. Here in New York State, we have abortion law in criminal code, which is ridiculous. It's not a criminal act. It shouldn't be in criminal code. This would just put it into statute so that it's protected better, so that if something did happen at the federal level to Roe v. Wade, here in New York State, we have the proper on the books regulations and laws to protect women.
And the Contraceptive Coverage Act?
It basically would expand health insurance coverage to cover all forms of birth control, including vasectomies, including having larger amounts of birth control, being able to give them so that a pharmacist could give you, 90 days worth of birth control instead of only being able to give you 30 days. It just kind of expands the coverage for women so that every single form of birth control is covered regardless of who your insurance carrier is.
That would be quite a statement for New York to take these two actions in the age that we live in, given the stance on women's issues at the federal government.
Yeah, and I think it's a huge win for women all over the state, you know, regardless of what your position is on choice. I think everyone can agree that access to contraception is crucial in New York State.
So that's month one. What else?
So then we'll get into the budget. We'll come into the budget process, and I think a lot of these issues that we're really passionate about, particularly early voting, I think that's going to be a budgetary item. I think campaign finance is going to potentially be a budget item as well, because if we do decide to take up public financing, there is, of course, a funding component of that, so that might have to be a budgetary item as well. But some of the other wins ahead of that, I think the Child Victim Act, I can see happening really quickly ahead of the budget. Some of those little kind of one-off things that in the past, we ran up against the clock to try and pass every year, and then the Republican-controlled Senate shut down. Those easy things we can do then. We'll have the budget. I could potentially see single payer being an issue that comes up. I don't necessarily know if this is going to be the year, since we've already seen some apprehension from the Senate Democrats. Even some of the older Senate Democrats have had apprehensions. You know, Senate Majority Leader Andre Stewart Cousins already said, I'm not, you know, saying a definite yes to anything. The governor has his own concerns with that. I think could be a budget issue. I don't know if it'll get done at that point. But then we'll have this sort of last piece of the session, those last few months, where that's when I think a lot of these things that haven't been done in the first few months or in the budget are going to be like a rapid fire trying to get all those done.
What are the league's priorities this year?
So voting is definitely our number one priority. Early voting, you know, last year we actually did have the governor include funding in his budget. The State Board of Elections even just recently released their estimate of what they think early voting is going to cost in New York State. So I think that the state is ready for it. The State Board of Elections, they're preparing for this. They know it's on the horizon. They know it's unavoidable, which is great. And we're really hopeful that we're going to do it this year, because this year are local elections, so we can have the sort of pilot time to see how it's going to go. And then 2020, it's going to be, you know, time to hit the ground and already know what the issues are and be able to handle them. Primary consolidation to offset some of the costs of early voting.
So you supported, the League of Women Voters supported a package of voting law reforms last year.
Right.
Do you expect there to be a package this year or just to focus on early voting?
I think that the package pieces will be done at different points. So I think early voting has to be a budget item. It's going to cost money. Primary consolidation is going to save money.
What does that mean?
So that basically means that we would consolidate our state and federal primaries to a June primary, so that way people don't have to turn out and vote, you know, five times during a big election year. Changing the
voter that would save the state money.
Yeah, it would save a lot of money that can then go towards early voting. Changing the deadline to register to vote, that's another issue that could be taken up in statute. Voting via absentee ballot without having a quote-unquote excuse, that's actually a constitutional issue, so that if we passed it this year, we'd have to pass it again in 2 years from now, and then voters would have to vote on.
But that became a huge issue this year because there were some assembly members, I think, that were talking about the fact that registered sex offenders couldn't vote.
Yeah.
Because there was no way for them to go into schools and there was no other mechanism for them to vote.
Yeah, it's an issue every year, and not just that, but you know, vote by mail in New York State is not great, which is why we at the League advocates for an in-person early voting system. Every single year the Board of Elections complains that the Postal Service loses so many ballots and they don't get to the people in time, they don't get back to the Board of Elections in time, and they get the ballots months later. So here in New York State, vote by mail is just, it's not great. And even with that aside, the fact that you need to have a quote-unquote excuse to be able to even vote by mail is just ridiculous.
Particularly because some people don't know that they're going to be away by the deadline. I've seen many people complain about that. They get called away on a work trip.
Right.
And they can't vote.
And the hope is that if we have early in-person voting, if you had that happen and you knew, you know, 2 days ahead that you had to leave, you could just go to your poll site quick, do your ballot that same day, and then not have to worry about it. That the number of requests for absentee ballots would go dramatically down with early in-person voting.
What else does early voting do? What benefits do you see in other states?
In other states, you know, it's funny because some studies show that the turnout doesn't increase, some studies show that the turnout does increase, but the thing that really is great about early voting is that it's more secure, it's better for poll workers, the elections just run more smoothly. If there's an issue, like we saw in New York City, all the machines getting jammed, we know days ahead of time, we know how to fix those problems ahead of time. There's a lot of boots on the ground who can go in there and address all these issues. It's just more secure, and poll workers just say it makes it so much easier. You don't have that pressure, you know, if you're going to, you're on your way to work, but you have to stop to vote, and you get to the poll site, and there's a long line, and you're stressed out, and or if you get there after work and there's a long line, you're worried you're not going to get inside in time to vote. It just takes away all that stress. It just makes voting so much nicer. It doesn't feel like this horrible chore you have to do on this one day a year. It feels like this nice, pleasant experience that I can just go on my way to Target. I'm going to stop and vote and, you know, have a great day.
So who in the world was opposed to that?
The big things that we would hear is that it was expensive, that there was a risk with security, but we've proven that it's actually more secure to have early voting, and that counties are going to have a problem implementing it. The big thing was basically funding. Funding was the big fear, and, you know, it's inexcusable to say, oh, it's funding. The governor put $7 million in his budget, which that's a drop in the bucket compared to some of these other programs we have in New York State. Our, you know, multi-billion dollar budget, $7 million is nothing. It's, you know, couch cushion coins.
Are there any other voting reforms that you'd like to see happen in 2019?
I'd like to see the voter registration deadline brought down to the 10-day constitutional limit from the 25-day statute limit, and as well as the party change deadline. I don't think a lot of people realize that if you wanted to vote a different party in 2019, you had to have changed your registration before our last election. So it's just, it's ridiculous, and people don't know, and they want to change their parties, and especially 2020 is coming up really soon. And I think a lot of people are going to either want to switch or, you know, change their party affiliation around and vote in the primaries, and it's going to be too late. And so we need to have that deadline brought down to the same limit as registering to vote.
There was some rationale about keeping the deadline longer. Do you know what it is?
I think they said that, well, party rating is always the first big thing that people or that elected officials will point out. And then the other thing is that to print the voter rolls for primaries. It's more complicated to add names that weren't previously there and some other things. But there's no reason it can't be 25 days. I mean, it's 2018. Like, I can pull up anything on my iPad right now and, you know, have it here. Which, to my other point, electronic poll books, having the voter rolls on an electronic format so that it's really easy at the poll site for poll workers to look people up. They are offline machines. They're not hackable, but they are actually more secure because you can see in there if someone has already voted somewhere else. You can see in there if somebody voted by absentee, and at the end of each day of early voting, they could be checked to make sure there's no fraud. It's basically a fraud checker, you know, quote-unquote election fraud. It prevents that, and it keeps that from happening.
Anything else?
Related to voting, I literally could go on forever. New York State is just, our voting laws are so antiquated, but I think those are the big ones. Automatic voter registration as well is another big one we'd really like to see done this year.
And where would that be done? At the Department of Motor Vehicles?
We would like to see it done at more agencies than just the DMV, because of course in New York City, a lot of people never interact with the DMV. There's no reason to. So we'd like to see it spread to more agencies, social service agencies, health agencies, so that more of them can automatically register people, and also to have the sort of cross check to make sure that people are eligible to be registered.
What can New Yorkers do to learn more about this and to help you get some of these measures across the finish line?
Well, my hope is that there's going to be a lot more coverage in the news on these issues now that there actually is a possibility of them happening, but they can always follow us on our Facebook, on our Twitter. Our Twitter is at LWVNYS. Our Facebook is League of Women Voters of New York State. We post there real-time updates of what's going on in session. They can also get involved with the league. Go to our website, lwvny.org. If you sign up for our news alerts every week, we send news alerts to our members that basically say what's going on in session, what's important to know, what bills are going to be moving, and just kind of upcoming events, things like that. If they want to come to a lobby day for another group, it's on there. So we try and keep members and the public really up to date on what's going on with these issues.